It is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan, which for the next couple of hours or so, the second half of the show today, we'll be dedicating to the hate speech laws. We did try to get to it last week, but sadly, Leo Varadkar kind of ruined the show on us by resigning on the same day, which means it took over the whole show. So we only got one or two callers on to actually talk about the hate speech bill. So we will get around to talking about that later on, because TD Michael Ring, Senior Fine Gael TD, has said that Fine Gael have gone too left for too long. And he believes that they should go back to basics when it comes to policy and bin the hate speech bill, that it's just culture wars. We'll get around to talking about that later on. We'll try and get to talk to Michael Ring if we possibly can as well, waiting for him to come back to us. Also, if you've any thoughts on it, by the way, you can WhatsApp us at 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. If you're listening to the podcast right now, by the way, it'll be on the next podcast, all right? That particular topic. This topic will be on the first podcast. By the way, speaking of the podcast, remember, it is coming towards the end of the month. The bills come in. This podcast costs us a lot of money every single month to run. And all we rely on is your donations and your subscriptions, without which we can't do it. Every day we like to give you a platform you won't get anywhere else. It's uncensored, within reason, obviously. We don't want you defaming anybody, but it is uncensored. You can come on and have your opinion about whatever it is that you won't get on the Joe Duffy Show, or you won't get on other shows across the country. And this is the only fully interactive live podcast in the country daily. We have WhatsApp, we have Zoom, we have people on the phone, we do a little bit of everything. Don't forget, if you go to our website, we have interviews that we don't stream live each day, that we do after we finish the show. They all go onto our website and you can access them by subscribing on the website. It's $5.99 a month. Three of us work on the show here. We don't get paid. So all we need is the money to pay the bills. That's all we need. And we need your help to do that. Always when it comes to the end of the month, worrying time, because we end up putting our own hands in our pockets. We have our own full-time job, to keep this going. So please, please support us. It's really important. We can't do it without you. And we're doing it for you. So please support us by going to our website, nileboylan.com. If you want to go there, you can either donate a fiver or 5 million, whichever it is you like. NileBoylan.com. Don't forget, everybody who donates, by the way, goes into a draw daily, and we give away one of these mugs every single day. Niall Boylan podcast, and on the back it has woman, adult, human, female on the back. Now, the first thing we want to get to today is, would you object to a refugee centre in your area, or reception centre as they call them? A warehouse in Coolock is being considered to house 500 asylum seekers. That's what they're saying, according to the Department of Integration. And they've confirmed this. It was a mixed-use accommodation for families, couples, single adult males and single adult females in the warehouse, which is being proposed. The department said that full engagement will take place with the public and the community leaders. According to a spokesperson for the Department of Integration, they told Dublin Live that the Department of Children, Equality, Disability and Integration and Youth is currently considering an offer for use of the former Crown Paints warehouse in Coolock to accommodate international protection applicants. If you haven't seen this particular warehouse, let's have a quick look at it there on the screen. There it is there. Now, as you can see, it's huge. It's huge. Not just the front end showroom, which is where you would have go to buy your paints many years ago in Coolock. But if you look behind that there on that image, you will see that there are another four adjacent warehouses behind it. And there's also another factory, just part of the factory, just behind that as well. All part of a huge warehouse, one of the biggest distribution centres in Europe at the time. Now, protesters are not too happy about this. And they were out on the street again over the weekend, only yesterday evening, actually. Have a quick look at this video. Compliments to Dublin Live. I can tell you there was a substantial crowd there, by the way. There was probably, I'm not great at numbers, but somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 people, I imagine, were at that particular protest. Now, the proposal is for modular units placed inside the warehouse, providing mixed-use accommodation for families, according to the Department of Integration, couples, single adult males and single adult females. An experienced and trusted accommodation provider has expressed interest in the delivery of the accommodation, and attendant security services are under this proposal. People seeking international protection will be accommodated on a gradual basis under the proposal, and an estimated 500 people may be housed there. Further details of full engagement will take place, according to the Department of Integration, with the public and the community leaders in due course. Now, thousands of people turned out yesterday, as you saw there, in a protest. And it was one of the biggest protests, I'll be honest with you, across the city and across the country in the last year. Locals say the services in the area are already stretched and that putting more people in would make things worse. And according to one spokesperson, the locals are worried about their safety and the safety of their children. And they say they don't want large groups of men hanging around the local parks. It seems most people online agree with the locals, but there are some that are saying that they have to live somewhere and the factory would be ideal if it was fitted out with modular units. I don't know, how would you see, it's always this kind of not in my backyard, isn't it? Isn't that what people say, not in my backyard? And look, you know, if we're all being honest, and we have to be honest here, even the All Are Welcome Brigade, the crowd, you know, the Labour Party people and the People Before Profit and the Sock Dems and oh, actually every political party, Sinn Féin, Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, every single one of them, if they're all being absolutely honest as individual people, and you said to them, how do you feel about having a factory warehouse across the road with 500 refugees in it? They'd be lying to you if they said they didn't care. They would be lying to you. But the argument is, from these people, these politicians, is these people are here. They have to live somewhere. So where are we going to put them if you don't want them in your backyard? Let me know what you think. Would you object to a reception centre of refugees in your area? Would you object? Or would you be one of these people who would say live and let live? The number is 085 122 55. That's 085 122 55. Please WhatsApp us in if you want to come on, all right? It's easier just to WhatsApp. Don't call the number, just WhatsApp in, all right? And they'll look after you. These things happen, you know yourself. Let me go to Madeline. Madeline, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Nice to talk to you, Madeline. Madeline, look, an interesting weekend, one of the biggest protests probably we've seen in the country. The East Wall protests were quite big during the year, of course, as well. But this particular one, of course, was a huge protest.
It was absolutely amazing. And it's just fantastic being a part of all this. I'd say there has to be in and around, I'd say, 3,000 people. As I was walking up to it yesterday, there were buses pulling in on the Malahide Road with droves of people getting off to go up to join the protest. So they weren't just all locals. People had come from everywhere to support this yesterday.
OK, for people, I mean, according to the Department of Integration, they are going to, you know, be in contact. They said that, you know, there's going to be full transparency. There'll be full engagement will take place with the public and the community. So it's not going to happen tomorrow or the next day. Obviously, if this is the case, they're going to have to fit it out, as they said, with modular units. So has anybody been in contact, from what you're aware, with the locals in the area?
Am I allowed to say that's complete and utter bullshit? Because we've seen it in the past in all the other areas. And let's go back to the one in Turnhapen, where we tried to engage with Minister Joe O'Brien, who told us that he was not going to engage with any of us with regard to where these men come from or how they got into the country. I was told, I'm not getting into that with you. So no, they're not going to be transparent. They're not going to meet with the people. And I talked for a few minutes there yesterday, and as I said to all these young mammies with prams and buggies and babies, they shouldn't be subjected to doing this. The government are there to represent the people. And because they are ignoring the people, this is why they have to take to the streets. They shouldn't have to do this in a democracy.
I mean, I did put a tweet up yesterday evening because I seen some people having a go with some of the protesters, etc. And I said, what I said was the vast majority of these people, the vast majority are concerned citizens who feel voiceless. Do you think that's what it is? That when you see, particularly in working class areas, people feel they don't have a voice. They feel like the government are not listening to them. Is that the frustration from people?
It absolutely is. And as I say, I talk to people from, I'd say, 20 years of age up to 80 and 90 yesterday. As I said, there were a lot of young mothers with their children, with their babies and buggies. Talked to older people on walking frames and wheelchairs, all just concerned people. And they were all very aware of keeping it peaceful. There were a few of these, what would you call them, youngsters that tried to come up and kind of bring the tone of the thing down, but people are not buying into it. The people I meet on the protest are genuine, salt of the earth, really just concerned about the country.
What are their concerns, Madeline? Because, you know, those looking from the outside in will say, well, what are their concerns? You know, I mean, well, obviously Coolock is a very populated area. Anyway, sure, I know. Look, I was raised in Edenmore, for God's sake. So I know Coolock very well. So what are the concerns of the locals?
Well, let's go back to the very first thing is that the people coming in are illegal.
Now, well, many of them are. Many of them are illegal and many of them are legally coming into the country, yes.
So we go with they're illegal. They're here illegally. So that's the problem. And the second problem is then just dumping hundreds of them into areas that have enough problems. Coolock has, and as I talked to people there yesterday, they said they have their own problems dealing with gangs and criminality. They don't need anything else. These people are trying to make a better community. They're trying to give their kids a future. And it's grossly unfair that an ignorant government would think it's okay to dump hundreds of single men into it.
Well, they're saying it's not single men. And I'm just reading what they've said. According to the Department of Integration, the modular units placed inside the warehouse will provide mixed accommodation for families, couples, single adult males and single adult females. Do you believe them?
It doesn't matter. No, they lie, because it's always busloads of men getting off with beautiful wheelie suitcases. That's all we see. And no matter what, these immigrants are being placed above Irish people who are on the waiting list for houses. They're on the waiting list for hospitals.
But Madeline, I'm not having a go, but I do remember going back before this became an issue, at, you know, 4 years ago, let's say, for example, right? And there was a suggestion, it could have been more longer, the Minister for Housing at the time, I can't even remember who it was, he had suggested modular homes. And everybody went mad and said, you can't be putting families into modular homes. They didn't think that was good enough. So what I'm saying is, on one hand, we're saying that wasn't good enough for the Irish. And then when we're doing it now, and I'm not just looking for an argument with you, by the way, because I completely agree with you. I think it's really unfair to do this to people, right? But on the one hand, we're saying it wasn't good enough for Irish people. But now we're saying, put the Irish first when it comes to these kind of modular homes. Really and truly, would you like to see a family, an Irish family for that matter, you know, a mother and two kids, or, you know, mother and father and two kids who are currently in temporary accommodation in a hotel, maybe, being chucked into a modular unit in the middle of a warehouse? I wouldn't.
Absolutely not. But they have, the City Council have built modular homes up around Coolock. They look like an ordinary house to me. But this is not about, look, putting the Irish first. This is about people who are coming in from other countries who are getting treated like first-class citizens. And it's nearly an offence to be white in your own country now. I talked to loads of people over the last few days where their sons and daughters, who are all genuinely working full-time, never been on the dole, don't have medical cards, cannot get GPs. I've spoken to people who are 4 and 5 years on waiting lists for hospitals. These problems are the problems our government should be dealing with. While we had all these problems ongoing, they had no business, absolutely no business, bringing in droves and droves of immigrants and allowing illegals into the country. We know some guards are resigning their positions because they know it's wrong. And a lot of people from Coolock there yesterday, I was walking with them, were saying they felt sorry for the guards and the horrible position they were put in. So these aren't far right racist.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the fact that you'll get called far right? You're just labelled automatically. Once you go to one of these protests, or once you even suggest that you might actually agree with it, you're immediately far right. How do you feel about being labelled far right? Does that bother you?
It doesn't bother me. No, absolutely doesn't bother me, because if I'm far right, it just proves that the government are very far wrong. And somebody more learned than myself. Somebody more learned than myself, I'd love to explain. You know, when you read the articles in the Constitution, according to the part of the Constitution where when the Taoiseach resigns, the other members of this government should be deemed to have resigned as well. Now, I don't understand that then, how they're not all gone,
well,
and why we're waiting.
Okay, there's a technicality. Some people are posting that online, and here's the technicality involved in that. Leo Varadkar did not resign as the Taoiseach of the country. So people are a little bit confused by that. He resigned as the president and the leader of Fine Gael. He's still the Taoiseach of the country, and he will remain the Taoiseach until Simon Harris is kind of sworn in, so to speak. So because he hasn't resigned as the Taoiseach of the country, that particular article of the Constitution is not enacted.
And I think they're probably game playing, because there's obviously more to this than meets the eye. Yeah. And while all this...
Well, if you think Leo was bad, and I'll admit, as from a leader point of view, he was bad, I can tell you now, Simon Harris will be a lot worse when it comes to this kind of thing.
The only word comes to mind when I see his face is totally and utterly insipid.
Okay. But, you don't like him.
But while this is all going on, then we see the whole WHO thing all escalating, and what that's going to entail. And because we're all so caught up in these issues here, there's a huge, much bigger agenda going on with the WHO. And with this hate speech law, I was speaking to Malik Stevenson yesterday, and I was just asking about how can we force this hate speech bill to go to a referendum? Because the government can't keep making decisions for us.
No, we can't force a referendum, unfortunately, because it's not a constitutional issue. But what we could you can obviously, you know, challenge the government and tell them you want a referendum on it. But then you'd have to get a lot of signatures for that to be even considered.
I think the last poll I read, there were 77,000 signatures. Yeah. I am against.
Oh no, I agree with you. The hate speech bill, and we're going to be talking about that in our next podcast. The hate speech bill is completely and utter nonsense.
When you look at outside people from around the world in Australia and America discussing it, and they talk how draconian it is, that they're going to put us back into the dark ages.
But that's what they want, Madeline. They want a situation where you're not allowed to challenge the government, where you're not allowed to speak out, because not that it would be illegal, but that there's a chilling effect on debate. In other words, whereby, you know, I would be conscious of the fact that we have a hate speech bill, and I would be very conscious of the fact of what people can say. So, in other words, it silences debate. But I mean, I'm going to be talking about that in the next podcast. So let's just focus on the refugees for the moment, if we can. Let me go to Joan. Joan, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Joan, you were at the protest as well?
Yeah, I was indeed.
Okay, Madeline said, you know, she reckons probably 2,000-3,000 people there at the protest.
Well, I'd say it was 3,000 plus. I mean, I sent you the drone footage.
Yeah, I saw that.
RTE, the mainstream media can't turn around and say it was what they usually do, drop a zero off it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a couple of hundred, yeah.
The people of Coolock have said no, you know, and they just come out and forced to show people that, you know, people are worried. All what you said to Madeline, people are worried, people have concerns.
And what do you think their concerns are, Joan?
Well, people are concerned because the Plex and the Odeon Cinema and Burger King is straight across the road from the proposed site.
I know where it is.
An awful lot of children walk up and down that road to schools. You've got a few schools in that area. So if that happens, people will have to drive their children to and from schools, and people will not allow their children to go to the Odeon Cinema. I mean, plus, they're saying there'll be 500 going in. So we all know that's a plus, you know. And you see,
it's a big warehouse. I mean, it's a massive warehouse.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's massive. So what we've been told is the proposal is for two-story porter cabins. Again, I sent you the photographs. So they fit three in each of them porter cabins, like the way they have down the country. So there'd be easily 1,000 people in there. Do you know what I mean? 1,000 single men. Because let's face it.
Why are you assuming? I mean, I'm just saying, why are you assuming? Because according to the Department of Integration, now don't get me wrong, I know they've lied in the past. They're no strangers to telling a few lies, right? But they have said the proposal is for families, couples, single adult males and single adult females.
Yeah, they said that in Tronopin, they said that in Eastwall. Do you know what I mean? In Eastwall, I'm sure you've seen the scuffles of men kicking the head off each other around the street outside it. They went up and they collared somebody outside Eastwall with a gun. There's Eastwall. I know people from Eastwall. There's an awful lot of people from Eastwall there yesterday, and they were telling the local peoples how bad it is down there. I mean, the streets are scuffy. The kids are getting accosted. You know, men are telling them, oh, you're gorgeous, and all this kind of carry on. Do you know what I mean? But Niall, 65% of the men who come here have no documentation. And I mean, that's illegal. Why is the government ignoring that?
Here's the thing, Joan. What they're doing now is they are bringing people to court now. Because, of course, there's an election coming up in a couple of months' time. Local elections coming up. Yeah, so what they are doing is bringing people to court who arrive here now with no documentation. Now, they're not bringing them all to court, but they're bringing some to court to make an example of them. And one or two suspended sentences have already been given out, and one person has already been incarcerated. But just not really much use, to be honest.
But what are they doing when they bring them to court?
Nothing.
Because they don't escort them home. They don't escort them out of the country.
No.
They're told to leave the country, and they're not leaving, you know. And you mentioned there about the local councillors. So when we got word of this, we emailed every TD in the area, and a couple of them got back to us and told us that they were waiting to hear from the local government's department.
Surely one of the local councillors or TDs must be on your side with an election around the corner. Elections is in June, general election probably before the end of the year. Surely they're thinking to themselves, I need votes. Surely somebody's on your side.
I'll tell you a little story. In 2018, Larry O'Toole put in an objection to houses going in there in the Crown site because he wanted because there was paint made there and all, because he wanted an environmental study done on it.
Yeah,
but
fair enough.
All of a sudden now it's okay. Plus, we emailed Larry O'Toole, and how we actually found out how it was confirmed for us, because the locals heard this like for about 10 days before it was confirmed for us. was that Larry O'Toole posted and said that he wasn't standing with bigots outside a refugee centre and leading good people ahead. So we said, thank you, Larry, you've just confirmed it. And then Richard Bruton sent us the email of what was going on.
And how do you feel about, you know, people calling you, and not you personally, but the group of protesters, you know, right-wing, racist, bigots? How do you feel when you hear those names being called?
Oh, left-wing, right-wing, chicken wing. Who cares what people call me? Sticks and stones. I mean, I'm from Coolock, so people, their mask told us sticks and stones break their bones, but names never work. Do you know what I mean? But I don't care what anybody tells me. People call me far right. That's a badge of honour. And what it actually means is that we're right so far. I mean, we're right about everything so far. And, like, so they're coming in. Let's just say 500 men go into that, or people, or whatever, go
people.
Into that unit.
Yeah, let's use the word people just a moment.
Okay,
yeah.
People. Okay, so what's from them? What happens from them? Where do they go from there? Because there's an awful lot of people in Coolock, like, double living. Do you know what I mean? Two families in a house. Girls in the mass box room, or the fellas in his mass box room. Like, why are they not being on the housing list? I mean, there's people in Coolock on the housing list 10, 15 years. Like, why are they not looking after the people of Coolock?
Mm-hmm.
Why are they not looking after the people of Ireland? Why are they not looking after the homeless? Now, I know that's a different issue, homeless and all that, but why are they not looking after the people of Coolock? Why are they bringing these people in? And I mean, my sense is they want to get rid of the Indigenous Irish people. I mean, I'm known for saying that, and I'll say it again. I mean, why are they trying to destroy Ireland?
Well, I mean, don't get me wrong, and I want to be fair, you know, diversity in this country is extremely important, right? We have a lot of people who come here legitimately, by the way, through the visa system,
and
work in our hospitals, you know, in our hotels, and our bars, everything,
100%, But there's an awful lot of people now who came here properly, who are going through all the steps to get their documentation, and they are up in arms. They're not happy about it. You know, I mean, where I worked as a barber, and he came down to me a few minutes ago, and he said, "Barbers say no. Let's go through a huge lengthy process to get our papers in here." He did it right. I don't think anybody has a problem with that. But these immigrants coming in and getting everything in social welfare, getting everything for nothing, is wrong. And for people who go, "Well, the Irish do it," but maybe they're Indigenous Irish. But across the board, it needs to change. I mean, I've seen a video there of a guy, Pakistani man, who lost his documents in Scotland.
I saw that. I saw the video,
in Birmingham.
Yeah.
But he's over here looking for, what did he say?
Well, here's the big problem. Here's the big problem for us. Okay, can I just explain something to people who don't know this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so this guy that you're talking about, he's been living in Birmingham for 6 months. He came to Ireland because he said Birmingham is not a safe place. Now, let's be clear. Yeah. The last time I was in the United Kingdom, it seemed fairly safe, right? Within reason. Yeah, nowhere in the world is perfectly safe. But anyway.
Yeah.
The point is, we currently can send him back to Birmingham, right? Or back to the UK or England, right?
Under the Dublin law.
Okay. Now, here's your problem, right? So, the other day, in the High Court in Ireland, the judge ruled that we can't. That he now says, because Britain is not part of the European Union,
we can't
assign it as being what they call a safe country. So, in other words, anybody now can come from Britain and we can't send them back again.
Yeah, well, the Irish people need to get a grip, and they need to let the government know that we don't want any more in here, because we've enough problems here in Ireland without taking on the world. I mean, Ireland's a small country, and you can't have everybody from Africa coming over here, everybody from Somalia, everybody from Algeria coming here. There isn't enough room. But the word is out there, Treasure Ireland. Go to Treasure Ireland and get your free gaff and your free money.
But they're not getting free gaffs. This is the thing, Joan. They're not getting free gaffs. They're being shoved into hotel rooms or modular homes or cabins or whatever. So let's send out a strong message to say there isn't any free gaffs.
Yeah, but even what you said there, Niall, into hotels, the tourist industry in Ireland is on the floor. Where do they think that the money is coming from? To feed all these immigrants, to give them their social welfare. There's no tourism now in Ireland, very few. So because the hotels are all here.
Your phone line is just breaking up just a little bit there, Joan. So just stay with me there for a second if you can. But just try maybe move to a different room. Let me go to Craig. I'll go to Craig as well. Craig, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
You were there yesterday at the protest as well.
Well, I was indeed, yeah.
Yeah, how long were you there for, Craig? Couple of hours.
The whole day.
Oh, okay. Okay. It was good. Was it peaceful? No problems? No, thankfully, no trouble?
Yeah, it was peaceful. I left about half hour early anyway, so.
Okay. All right. And what was the general atmosphere in a sense? Was it anger, or were people just coming together as a community? Was there good spirits?
it was good spirits. Yeah, you know, obviously a lot of people are angry because of what's going on, and it's unsafe that people are going in there. You know, 3,000 men, thousands that are going in here. You know.
Mm. Do you believe the Department of Integration? I've said it to Joan there, Madeline. Do you believe the department when they say it's not men, it's families?
No, it's definitely men. It's 100. I've seen it for myself, you know.
Well, they've said this before and it turned out to be men, but we don't know, obviously. I mean, have the department been in contact with anyone? Have you spoke to any of the community leaders or any people there? Have they been? Because according to the department, they will be in contact with the community leaders.
I'm not sure if they've been in contact with them, you know. But I have friends who know on the inside of refugee camps and who the government are claiming that it's families, women and children and men. And then when he turns up the camp to set up, there's basically just only men only. The toilets that basically toilets are inside are just saying men. There's no like toilets for the women, and they're basically getting free everything, you know. And then obviously there's fights that are happening in these camps, and they're saying, oh, these men are not illegal, they're safe, even though there's fights happen, but they definitely are illegal, you know. There's no women at all. Oh, you haven't seen one woman at all, you know.
And I was talking to Joan and Madeline there, but generally speaking, when you're talking to people, you know, what are the concerns that they have? I mean, obviously the main concern would be, you know, services in the area. Like, for example, you can't get a GP or you can't. That's only going to get worse when you add more people to the problem. But what are the other concerns they have?
Well, the concerns we have are the safety of younger children, you know. Obviously, what happened to that young girl in town? What happened if that happened in Kulak? What's going to happen then? You know, that's going to roil people up a lot more. Mm. Pretty unsafe to have these men in here. Like, I have six nieces, and 2 weeks ago, my little niece asked me to drop her to the shop, because she was fearful for her life in case anything had happened to her walking to the shops, you know. So, like, you're talking 12-year-olds, 14-year-olds are terrified of their life to walk around with their friends on their own. Where years ago, they'd have no problem playing on the streets. Now, they're genuinely terrified, so they're indoors all the time now, you know.
It would be fair to say that Ireland is not as safe as it used to be anyway. And when it comes to children, you know, going around on their own, you know, there's kind of gangs of all sorts of people hanging around up to no good. Why do you think people think that, you know, culturally or whatever it is, people from other countries are less safe? Is it because you don't know them, or is it because of the uncertainty or the unknown, or what is it?
It's because of, like, most of these men coming over have recent convictions in their own country.
We don't know that. There's been examples of, yes, there has been examples, Craig, I admit that, of a few. But when you say most, I wouldn't say most. That's a bit of...
No, not most, you know, you can't paint everyone the same. But that guy that killed Ashley Murphy, he was supposedly safe. But if you look him up online, and friends of friends have said, back in Slovakia, he was also a sex offender.
That's right.
He was let into Ireland, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he also, when he was getting life in prison, he tried fighting his case to saying he was a sex offender. So he didn't want to be placed in Mountjoy prison. He wanted to use his sex offender reputation so he wouldn't get life and he'd be put in the sex offender prison, which was denied, you know?
I mean, there are always going to be cases of people who will slip through the net. And there has been a number of cases, by the way, of individuals that have come to this country with no documentation, no paperwork, and we later find out they're wanted in whatever country they happen to come from. There was one guy who was a suspect of a double murder. I remember he was staying in the Red Cow. So there have been some of those cases. There's no doubt about it. And it doesn't seem like the police are doing an awful lot of, or the Garda Síochána are doing an awful lot of background checks. And maybe because in some countries it's just not possible to do background checks, unfortunately, when you look at Algeria and Georgia and Nigeria and places like that, that we don't have a database, or we can't get a database of individuals and what they are. So what's the best course of action then? Just refuse them at the door?
Refuse them at the door, you know, because it's unfair, because if we try and go to any other country, we have to have a visa, we have to have a certain amount of money. So in case you want to come return back home, we have to use that money to come back home.
Yeah, but that's because we're not going as asylum seekers. We're going, you know, under visa program. But if you're going as an asylum seeker, you can claim asylum in any country that is under the asylum agreement. You can claim asylum. You could go to America tomorrow, for example, and claim asylum. Now, don't get me wrong, you wouldn't be very successful, Craig. You'd be put into a holding, you'd be putting into a holding centre for 48 hours and probably put on a plane, on the next plane back home again. But in saying that, you can claim asylum if you want.
That's exactly, yeah, you're correct there. But if there's no documentation done on these guys and they can't find any convictions because, as you said, they don't have the database, they should just be sent straight back home, you know?
Yeah, the only information we can get on individuals is if they've already claimed asylum in Europe or they've come to the attention of the authorities in Europe, that's the only information we can really get.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, you're right there. But ever since a lot of these asylum seekers have came over, the crime has risen, you know, and it claims to be all the asylum seekers, not every single one of them.
Yeah, but here's the problem we have, Craig. We don't really know that for a fact because, as you know, in Ireland, the CSO gather statistics, but they don't gather statistics of nationality when it comes to crime. Now, I have no idea why they do in other countries, but we don't take statistics of nationality. We believe that it's wrong to do that. So if you look at the crime report, say, from last year or the year before, it will never tell you of the nationality of the people who committed the crime. So we don't actually have a statistic. So what you're going on is observation.
Observation, yeah, 100% right there, you know.
Mm. But anyway, getting back to Coolock, I mean, it looks like in every other case we've seen over the last year, no matter how many protests you do, they're still going to put people in there because that's what they've done every single time. They haven't listened to the locals. They haven't listened to the communities. So what's going to happen then, Craig?
Just have to keep protesting and just keep fighting the cases, fighting the politicians, you know.
Mm.
Just keep protesting as much as we can, and because we won't stop. Coolock will not stop until they're not going in there at all. It could take 2 years, 3 years. We will definitely not stop, and every single person in Coolock and surrounding areas will 100% agree with me. They will not stop until someone listens to us.
Okay, stay there for a second. Let me go to Collie. Well, hang on, Greg. Collie, hi. How are you?
How are you, Noel? How are you doing?
Good. You were listening to Craig there, and he said there was a big turnout, all right, and there was a good atmosphere, although people were angry and frustrated. I can understand why.
Yeah, it was amazing turnout. Great to be a part of. People are angry, and they've showed their anger there yesterday in the numbers. You know, there must have been 4,000 people there, Noel, I reckon. Easily 3,000 to 4,000, wasn't it?
No, it was somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000, I would imagine. Yeah, it looks like
somewhere
that.
Around the figure, anyway. Yeah. Somewhere around the figure. Yeah, I was just listening to what you were saying there. The media have a lot to answer for, the mainstream media, in regards, as I said, they're not reporting on the nationalities of the migrants. If it's a migrant, they're just saying it's a male age 50 and sex attacks all over the place. I just want to get a plug in on the page there. Dublin City Centre says no on the Facebook there, Noel. All the attacks that the media is not reporting, we have them all up on the page there all over the country. So if all your listeners want to tune into that page there on Facebook, Dublin City Centre says no, and there's also a protest there. I've been in touch with a number of the groups that says no groups around the country. There's a national demonstration on the 14th of April, the United Tribes. So a couple of the groups I spoke to, Kildare, says no, and whoever else, they're all game ball for this. So all the groups, the likes of Coolock, the crowd that was there yesterday in Coolock, and then all the crowds and all the places all over the country, we're going to all get together on the 14th of April for a national demonstration. So I just want to put it out to the listeners there. Noel.
Okay. The other thing I will say is, Collie, you know, as I mentioned already, we don't keep statistics according to the government, that there's a good reason why we don't. We don't keep statistics when it comes to nationality of crime, when it comes to crimes.
We should do.
But everything else is observational. But you know, I've seen stories, Collie, and I'm not having a go, right? But I've seen stories from people, which I know are not true. You know, there has been stories floating around that are completely exaggerated or they're completely untrue. Because people, understand people get a little bit concerned and they get a little bit overexcited about things like that. You know what I mean?
All I can say to you, 99% of what I'm seeing on my page, Dublin City Centre says no, if they're genuine, legitimate reports of attacks, you know, because I won't post anything unless I know it's for sure, it's definite. Like in regards to...
I did see a story there a few weeks ago, Collie, where seemingly some girl or some woman said her 15-year-old child, three men in a van tried to abduct her, but she got away. Now, unless we have the worst kidnappers in the world, if three men, grown men, try to abduct a 15-year-old, they're not going to fail. Do you know what I mean? I find a lot of the stories difficult to believe sometimes.
I wouldn't like to brush it off and say that wasn't true, Noel, because I don't know what
I don't know if it's true or not, but it just sounds to me, you know what I mean, like, very stereotypical and unlikely that, you know, a young 15-year-old girl would get away from three men, three grown men.
If anyone wants to see proper transparency regards the amount of attacks that's happening, just look on that page.
They can look at that and make up their own mind if they want. But getting back to Coolock, you know, and the Crown Paints factory, which has been up for let for a while now, since I don't know when Crown Paints actually closed down. It must be sometime.
It's closed down about 4 or 5 years, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while now. Yeah, but I know the factory has been up for let ever since then, and obviously, you know, hasn't been, because it's a big factory. It's a huge factory, isn't it?
It is indeed. Yeah.
So, okay, so they're saying there's going to be families. If there was families in it, Collie, would there be a problem? If there was children women and...
Here's where we're at the moment. The whole of Ireland, not just Coolock, says no. We're all sick and tired of the government's policies. Nobody seems to know where he is, and he's not showing his face, and he's not coming out and speaking or liaising with the people. He's not consulting any communities as regards his plans or anything like that. It's just pumping a load of single men all the time coming into the country, like, and they're all unvetted. They're saying they're doing background checks, but they're not doing background checks. We all know that, you know. But Oh, it's so sickening. It is. No, it's absolutely sickening what's going on. It really is, you know.
Okay.
It's sickening. They shouldn't.
And what are you going to do if they do as they've been doing all along, which is ignore the protests and just go ahead and put people in?
Say it again. No, the lines are back.
What are you going to do if they do as they've been doing up to now, which is essentially ignore protesters and just go ahead and put in, people into the place? What are you going to do?
We're going to keep protesting at that site there. There'll be no one going into that site. But as regards, you asked me a question there about if it's women and children going in. And I didn't finish my point. Noel, we're sick of what's going on in the country. Even if it's women and children, we don't want any more. Ireland is full. Like, we already were in our worst housing crisis before all this madness. After 3 years of restrictions, the worst restrictions in the world, Ireland was the longest restrictions during the COVID.
I'm aware of that.
But you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, we're out of COVID 3 years, fast forward, and we're into this situation where we have this unelected government in power that's not listening to the electorate, that's nothing to do with the electorate, didn't put them there in the first place. And they're doing absolutely everything they want to do, including doing a hatchet job in the city, taking away the loading base force, was Eamon Roy's force, the disaster. And now they're closing up. They're planning to close off traffic to the city. Well,
okay, they're separate issues, Colly.
Let me get this across. No, that's very important. The National Children's Hospital is in James Street, and they're closing off traffic to the city. What is that going to do? The ambulance is trying to get to the city.
Colly, I'm not going to disagree with you. Whoever decided to put the National Children's Hospital where it's going is an idiot.
They haven't.
Colly, listen. Thank you very much indeed. Let me go to Morris as well. Morris, hi. How are you?
Niall, how are you? Very interesting. Good to see the people of Ireland marching again because of what they believe in and what they want. You know, I see things happening and I'm watching. And basically, I come up with an idea, and I think people that went out marching at the weekend and people that are marching all over Ireland, they should start up their own party. And I've come up with a name for it. It's the WCPPI, and that's the Working Class People's Party of Ireland. And that's the people of Ireland that are the backbone of this country, that pay taxes, working class like you, like me, that have worked all your life. I've worked all my life. I'm 42 years in the same job now this year. And basically, our country has been taken away from us by people that don't care about the country, because you got a three-headed snake government that got together. They don't know what they're doing. They're all trying to outdo each other. They're bickering, they're fighting among each other. And then they're making us turn on each other because we're not happy with what they're doing. But still, they'll all walk away with big pensions. So if there's anybody out there that wants to grab hold of that idea of the WCPPI and stand in the next general election, all you have to do is start up a GoFundMe page, get people to represent in every constituent in the country, in the 26 counties.
Why don't you do it, Morris? Well, why don't you do it?
Well, I'm looking for help. I'm pleading through your show now. If somebody wants to get in contact with me, you can give them me details and we can take it and we'll stand against these people. Because I'll tell you why. Coolock could be the next area down in Waterford. There was a hotel in Waterford and there was refugees in it. You know,
the Strand Hotel, yeah.
And they didn't like what was going on with the food or something, and they wrecked the hotel.
Well, I don't think it was. People have said it was over the food. I don't think it was over the food. I think it was a family feud between two families. Yeah.
Well, there you go. Even the families are fighting. Never mind single men.
Yeah.
So what do you do with people that don't
come in? There was children involved in that fight. Women and children and everything fighting in that. I remember. I see in the video, yeah.
To see people going and wrecking.
But Morris, to be fair, I've seen, you know, Irish people, you know, family feuds going on like that as well. You know, it's not just foreigners that do that.
Well, that's people that have bad intentions. I'm talking about people that come into this country that are looking for shelter and safety, and then they're wrecking our country. That's the problem I have. There's no respect for this country and these people. But what I'll say to you is, if the Crown Factory idea goes ahead, what if some lunatic in there says, I'm sick of this place? It's like, what do you call it? You know, people that were in paid provision for, you know,
direct
what I mean? And he gets an attitude and he said, what if he sets the place on fire and you have another starter on your hand? Except there won't be 48 or 50, it'll be 500.
I hope nobody ever does anything like that, you know.
But listen, Noel, there's the dangers that these people don't think about because they don't know how to run the country and they're turning people on each other. You have a tree.
No, I know, you're completely right. What's happening at the moment is quite divisive, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a government turning people against each other. Now, clearly 70% of the population before Christmas said that they felt the government were letting too many people into the country. That's a Red Sea poll, by the way. 70% of the population have said that already. But the government are not listening. They don't care. And what's happening is when you decide to do it in a working class area like that, you turn people against each other. You turn people against the government and you turn people against these refugees who come in. Because let's be clear, it's not the refugees' fault. They're taking advantage of a situation that's been made available to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, I don't blame Johnny from Pakistan or Paddy from Nigeria or whatever his name is.
I mean,
if they're getting into the country and the government, as soon as they walk in the door, the government are sending them off down to the IPAS centre and they're sending them off to a modular home or a cabin somewhere or wherever it is, I don't blame them taking advantage of that system because the government have made that system available to them.
And like you said, if they come in and they're genuine and they want to work and they want to contribute to this society, by all means. But don't come in and sit around sponging off us, drinking beer all day, laughing at the rest of us. But what I'd say to you too,
But that is the problem. The vast majority of people that have came here over the last year and a half.
Financial reasons.
As asylum seekers, are economic migrants, and the vast majority would be unskilled labourers. Now, so even if they do get a job, you know, it's unlikely, very unlikely, they're going to get a high enough paid job to afford a home in Ireland or be paying an awful lot of tax. So they will always be, like, by the way, many Irish people do are a burden on the state, but they'll always be a burden on the state.
Exactly. And one thing on your show that I can remember vividly, Nigel Farage turned around and said, your show, wait and you see what's coming your way. Mm. And he was right.
Yeah.
We've had the dregs of every nation in the country come in here because we're a soft touch. But you know what? One thing you pointed out today, and I admire you for doing it, and the government should look and listen to people. If we have an open travel system with the UK, it's time to have a look at it and say, listen, we need to patrol this now because there's too many
Here's the thing. How do you patrol that? Like, a lot of people are coming to Ireland, not to Dublin Airport, not to Rosslare. No.
But
they're coming in through the north. So how do you...
Get the police up there in customs. If you haven't got a passport to come into this country, you're not coming in.
Morris, do you really think that would be a good idea? Can you imagine the day somebody stands out in the middle of the M1 at Newry, puts his hand up to stop a car and says there's a border here? We already had this idea during Brexit. I could tell you now, if anyone does that, that's the start of the troubles in the north again. That's not going to happen. So there is no way of stopping people.
We've already been threatened with the Irish border down the Irish Sea, and it's just come out with a stalemate. We have to protect their 26 counties as well. People didn't die for nothing, Niall.
But you're not going to put a border that we're never ever going to go back to having a hard border in Uri. That just cannot happen for any reason.
Well, then can we get the people coming in through Dublin Port or Rosslare, where we control, and say, if you land in our country and you haven't got a passport, the airliner's responsible for getting
I completely agree with you. When it comes to Dublin Airport and Rosslare, we should be able to control
and
that.
They won't be long about turning their tail and going somewhere else.
But as I said, a huge amount of people are coming in through Northern Ireland, through Belfast. Yeah. You heard that guy the other day in the video saying he came from Pakistan, came into Birmingham, up to Scotland.
I've seen him.
Over to Belfast and down to Dublin.
Fit, healthy and well. And I guarantee you, if we showed his photograph to the Pakistan embassy here and say, well, this man's life be threatened in Pakistan, he's telling a bunch of lies.
No, well, of course he is. He's an economic migrant. But the first thing he says is, in the interview, he demands a house.
Exactly.
I know a lot of people that demand a house. Morris, thank you very much indeed for that. Let me go to Peter. Peter, hi, how are you doing?
Hey, you're well now.
I'm good, Peter. Peter, I mean, okay, you've seen those protests. They were quite big, actually, in Coolock. That was probably the biggest one I've seen, I think, all year. But the government will most likely ignore the protest. And they'll go ahead and put people into this huge, big factory warehouse. Is that fair to the people?
You see, what my problem is here is that everyone's saying this is our country. It's my town. It's not. It's like, yeah, you grew up here, but nothing outside of your house belongs to you. It belongs to the government. It belongs to the state. You really have no say over that. So,
to be fair, Peter, it belongs to the people. The country belongs to the people.
Yeah. So why are you angry at migrants then? Go to the government and protest outside the government building.
I couldn't agree with you more.
The second warehouse. That doesn't make sense. But come here, I have bigger worries about, you know, people being put in a warehouse. I have seen the social media videos going around of that protest yesterday, and there's a couple of people standing in front of early teenagers, getting them to shout, "Out, out, out! Get them out! Get them out!" You're only teaching hate to kids. How can you be so vilified in your justification for getting rid of migrants or foreigners, and then getting kids to be like, "Get them out, out, out!" You're only teaching them hate for their later life. Mm-hmm. Like, God forbid, they have to go to hospital and your doctor is from South Africa and your nurse is from the Philippines, for fuck's sake. I'm sorry for language, but it's true.
Yeah, no, no, I understand. Like, I understand what you were saying. No, I, by the way, I said this during the year when people were outside some hotel, I think in Ballymun, and they were roaring up at the windows, out, you know, the, as you said. And I said, don't take your protest to the migrants. It's not their fault. Yeah. They're taking advantage of a bad system. Your problem is with the government.
But then the argument... Yeah, but then the argument is that, oh, the crime statistics are going to go up because of more crime. There is no justification for that, because I work as somewhat of a data analyst, and I can't find any data on that.
Well, I've said this, Peter. I really would. There is no data on it. And I'll tell you why, because Ireland is one of the few countries that we don't keep data for reasons, and the government have said the reason why they don't do it is because they don't want to cause a division in society. We don't keep data in relation to the nationality of people who commit crimes. We don't.
Yeah, well, then people should learn the phrase that there's a term in the world of data where it's, I can't think of it right now. Sorry, I'm losing
train of thought. But do you think we should?
Correlation is not causation. Correlation is not causation. Just because something is happening doesn't mean it's the cause of it. So people are looking at that and saying, "Yep, yeah, that's it. That's what I'm angry at." But like. What I don't get either is that people aren't looking too close to themselves either. Like, as I said, they're causing, like, all these foreign nationals, they're going to cause all this crime.
Yeah, but hang on. To be fair.
This Irish Freedom Party organized a riot in Dublin a couple of months ago.
No, they didn't organize a riot. They organized. You're going to say something, be correct, okay? They organized a protest. They can't be responsible for people who are violent. And by the way, The people from the Irish Freedom Party, I know one or two of them, by the way, and they condemned the violence. They didn't ask people to be violent. They didn't ask people to be violent.
WhatsApp groups. Yeah, but the videos came out of their WhatsApp groups on "Let's fucking wreck the place."
No, that wasn't on their WhatsApp groups. That was an individual. But they can't be responsible. But you can't be responsible for what an individual says.
Talking over me. I'm sorry.
No, because you're making claims that are not true. That's why I'm talking over you, Peter.
What? Sorry.
You're making a claim that isn't true.
It is true.
The Irish Freedom Party did not encourage people to wreck the place.
Well, one of their very found supporters...
Don't mention names on the air.
...abuse claim about a teenager. Remember that? Is that fake?
Okay. I don't understand what you're talking about. Okay. But getting back to what I'm actually talking about, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, Dr. Owen Linehan, we had him on the show here only recently. He's a journalist from Germany, originally Irish. He put together statistics in relation to crime and serious crime in Ireland, including murder. Mm. And, you know, you might say correlation is not causation. But in saying that, you know, I think it is important, as in every other country in the world, that we keep statistics in relation to nationalities that commit crimes. Because up to now, of course, Ireland was mainly the indigenous population. Now we live in a very diverse society. So I think it's important that we keep those statistics, because the reason that some people may be, I suppose, responsible for certain types of crimes could be cultural as well. I mean, we've seen that in countries around the world, and particularly in Sweden. And we've seen, you know, problems where culturally, you know, there's an increase in sex offence, for example. Massive increase.
Yeah, but there's also an increase of, you know, teenagers robbing bikes in Dublin City in the broad daylight, and nothing's ever said about that, but it's the foreigner sleeping in a warehouse that's the problem.
Well, I will say it about that. If we do have an increase in teenagers robbing bikes, I'll cover the story. I'm happy to do that. You know, and I always do cover those stories too. If you've got scumbags and couriers in the middle of town.
For some particular reason.
Yeah, okay. So getting back to, let's say, for example, when we look at what's happening in Ireland at the moment, do you think the immigration policy we currently have, which seems to be reckless, I don't think there's any two ways about it. It seems to be reckless. Do you think that's acceptable going forward, that we just have this kind of open border system?
Elaborate on recklessness. Recklessness is an umbrella term.
Okay, we seem to have... Leo Varadkar recently said that we didn't have open borders. But yes, if we look at the system we currently have, nobody gets refused. It doesn't matter whether you don't have documentation, it doesn't matter where you happen to be from, even if you're from a safe country that's been nominated a safe country, you will still be allowed into the country. And then the process could take up to a year for you to get asylum or not get asylum. If you don't get asylum, you get a deportation order, which is never enforced. And even then, you can apply for permission to remain from the Department of Justice. So nobody seems to get chucked out. It's rare. Is that an acceptable system?
I'm not saying it is or it isn't, but we all knew it was there. So why did we let a supposed problem manifest itself and now it's only a problem? Why weren't these protests there 4, 5, 7, 8, 10 years ago?
We've seen the numbers go up.
People don't seem to like foreign people.
No. It's not to do with not like
foreign people. No, that's exactly what it is. That's exactly what this is.
Why do you think the protests are happening now? The reason we're seeing the protests happening now is because the numbers have gone up substantially in the last 2 years. That's why. And we have a housing problem. And we have a housing crisis.
I'm fully aware we have a housing problem, but that's not our problem per se. It's the government's problem and the EU's problem. You know, like people are protesting outside a warehouse. They're not protesting outside the Dáil for some particular reason now, are they?
But it is a problem when you have, say, a small town in rural Ireland particularly, right? And you have a population of, say, 1,200 people, and you have two hotels, and then all of a sudden we fill the hotels with, say, 300 or 400 refugees. Now you've got a problem where you've only got one GP in the town. People are already waiting a week and a half for an appointment. Now they're waiting 2.5 weeks for an appointment. The local bars and businesses, who I've spoken to on the air many times, are not doing any business anymore because there's no tourists in the town because the hotels are full of refugees.
Well, you have to also look at the long picture as well. Would that town have remained the same in 20 years, or is it something that they could have dealt with 10, 15
years
ago?
You're missing the point I'm making.
If they only have one GP, that's the town's problem. Why isn't there two, three, or four?
Because but it's also damaging the economy of the small town. It's also damaging our economy when it comes to tourism. It's also damaging our economy that we've set aside another $4 billion this year to deal with refugees. These things are
more
damaging.
Options other than hotels for tourism. Okay, we all know this.
So what are the other options when you've got people where we literally have nowhere for people to stay? Literally, they're sleeping in tents in Mount Street. What are the other options, Peter? The other options are, yes, be welcoming to asylum seekers who are genuinely coming from countries where there's a war and they're leaving behind bombs and missiles. Absolutely. Roll out the red carpet. Do everything we possibly can. But when we have a situation...
Well, we don't know the exact single story from every person that comes to this country. We can say that
Well, the vast majority are not genuine asylum seekers.
Sorry, no. We could say Peter from Africa suffered XYZ, but then people will question that and say, that's not true. He's only here for the free stuff. No, yeah, of course we have a housing crisis. And if the country didn't know so much hate, I guess people could take them into their own homes.
But who's creating the hate?
Families in, taking other families in. You get paid for it. I would love to do it myself, but I can't.
Who's creating this
one
division?
One bedroom house, and that's the best I can do.
But Peter, who's creating this division and this hate in society? It's the government by bad
policy.
That's
a very deep question.
I'm giving you the answer. I'm giving you the answer right now. The answer has been it's been created by the government, because when you have bad policy, it creates division.
No, hang on. That's not addressing it at the root cause. You have to address it at the root cause. Why is there a person from half a world away coming here, and why isn't their story being
so
believed?
If
their story's not being believed, all of a sudden hate ensues.
No. It's not because their story is not being believed that hate ensues. The story is that if their story is not believed and they don't qualify for the criteria under the convention to be an asylum seeker, they should be deported. But they're not. And people are seeing that. And over the last 2 years, we've seen a massive increase in the amount of people that are coming to the country. And that's causing a huge problem because we don't have the accommodation for it. We didn't have this problem 4 or 5 years ago.
I give them a chance, Ireland has one of the highest employment records right now at the moment. There are tons of jobs out there.
You want to just give everybody who comes to Ireland a job?
Sorry?
You want to just give everyone who walks into this country the opportunity to stay and have a job?
Well, I mean, all these people that are out protesting yesterday, I mean, they clearly don't seem to have a problem with...
Okay, so hold on, no. I want to be abundantly clear, Peter, what you're asking for, okay? Do you believe that we should have any borders at all in this country? Any restrictions on anybody coming in?
Well, it's a very deep question.
It's not a deep question. It's a simple yes or no answer. No, it's a simple yes or no answer. Do you believe that
No, it's not.
Do you support open...
What does restrictions mean?
That's about the fourth time you said the word umbrella term, by the way. Do you support open borders?
Well, yes. We have open borders. We have free we have free movement within the EU, so yes.
No, I'm not talking about the EU. I'm talking about outside the EU.
Sorry, say that again?
I'm talking about outside the EU. By the way, you don't have literally free movement inside the EU. You're allowed to go to another EU country provided you're going to work. You're not allowed to go to another EU country to sit in your hole.
I can't hear what you're saying. Sorry, no. Say that
I
again.
Said you're allowed to go to another EU country provided you're willing to work. You're not allowed to go to another EU country if you're going to sit on your hole and do nothing.
Yes, I am. My partner is Spanish, and I can move there tomorrow if I wanted to and sit my hole all day if I wanted to.
You can't, because under the agreement that we have in Europe, that you must be able to provide yourself for a period of 4 months. You do know that, don't you? You understand the way it
works.
Yeah,
my bank account will reflect that I will be able to do that. Okay. So
in other words, you won't get it.
I'd be more than happy to be able to do that.
Yeah, but currently at the moment, what I'm saying to you is, do you believe that we should have an open border system in Ireland where anybody can come from any part of the world and come in here and get a job?
Yes. Humans are humans, and we should be polite to other humans. And if there's any...
So well, that's some sort of utopian system you think is going to work, do you? Where are they all going to live, Peter? Where are they all going to live, Peter?
I'm in the middle of a sentence. So humans are humans. We should be human to other humans. Be nice and be polite. And if there's any religious people on this, you're all fraudulent.
So are we all racist? Are we all racist?
Like, love thy neighbour, huh?
Okay. Well, I tell you what. I believe we should have borders. I believe we have a duty and a responsibility to protect the citizens of this country. I do believe there are many genuine people coming into this country looking for assistance, and we should give it to them. But I also believe there's an awful lot of wasters coming into this country. There's an awful lot of criminals coming into this country, and we've no idea who they are.
So you're calling my wife a waster,
are you? Hold on. Did I just say your wife is a waster?
She came over here as an immigrant.
Yeah, I never mentioned... By the way, I don't even know your wife. I never mentioned your wife. I said there's a lot of... Listen to what I'm saying. Put on your listening ears, Peter. I said there's a lot of good people coming to this country. I said there's also a lot of wasters coming to this country. That's what I said.
Yeah, but who are you to determine who's good and who's a waster?
Because that's up to our authorities to determine that, isn't it?
All these people automatically assume but that you, they're all
but
wasters.
But you'd let everybody in. Sure, Peter, under your rules, you just let everybody in. We're all humans, according to you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Just because someone's visible lines are drawn on a map doesn't say that humans should be human.
Okay, and what about people who arrive in the country with no passport, no documentation, no identification? Just go ahead there, yeah, far away. Oh, you go there, we give you identification, we give you a PPS number. Is that the way you work it?
Humans are humans. There should be free movement around this planet.
What's sort of utopian world you want to live in, Peter? We live in the real world. There are criminals in this world. There are people who are not good in this world. You don't just take everybody at face value. You have to identify people and find out who they are.
Yeah, and you can say the same about the Irish people as well. There's people in this country
live in the country. What do you want to do? Throw them
we
out?
Them, do we?
No, people who are bad in this country go to jail. Hopefully.
Hopefully, Peter. Recent pedophile cases that were in the court.
Absolutely, and they shouldn't be getting suspended sentences. They should go to jail. I agree with you. But they're Irish people. What do you want to do? Do you want to throw out the population out of the country? Oh, for God's sake, Peter.
Would you relax for 2 minutes?
You're living in a utopia, Peter. You're living in a utopia.
Niall, for 2 moments, right, there was a Brazilian lad who went to the courts. He had an unfathomable amount of child pornography on his laptop. He was given a suspended sentence.
I'm well aware of that. I can tell you a lot more cases, by the way. Most of them, sadly, by the same judge. But I can see a lot more cases. And they should go to jail. That's nothing to do with what we're talking about. You can't chuck Irish people out of their own country. You cannot make a person stateless. You do realise that. So you can't chuck Irish people out.
I don't know what your hatred is to people wanting to just freely travel around this planet. You say we're living.
Where did I mention the word hate? Where did I say I hated anybody?
Let people try.
Oh, no. I want you to clarify. No. Hold on. No. You just accused me of hating people. Where did I say I hated anybody? When?
What?
When did I say I hated anybody?
I didn't say I hated anybody. I said that they're vilified whenever.
You just said my hatred. You said my hatred of people. When did I hate anybody?
Well. You can use that as a collective term, not just particularly.
So all the people that are out there in Coolock, are they all racists?
Yes.
Every single last one of them?
Yes.
Okay, stay there for a second. Damien, are you there?
I am, Noel. How are you?
How you doing? You were at the protest yesterday. According to Peter, you're a racist. Wasn't it? Yeah, you're right. Nothing but racist.
Yeah, well, sure, like, people will say that. Where does Peter live, Noel?
I don't know. I don't want to know. That's his business.
Yeah, the reason why I'm asking is because all these migrant centres that they're setting up all seem to be along the north side of Dublin. Do you know what I mean? Where we have, and our area is already underprivileged. There's already a high crime rate in it. There's already incidents happening that the police can't control, you know, and the likes of the local amenities across the road from where they're planning on putting them, the Leisureplex, the UCI, the Burger Kings, where kids can walk and enjoy. We had the manager of the Leisureplex come across to us the other night and asked us if we needed any hot water, if we needed anything at all, if people needed to use the toilet. Because he said if that migrant centre goes ahead, that the Leisureplex will close down, no one will bring their children to it. So it's not us being racist. It's like for us to even see a GP, it's between 3 and 5 days around the area as it is. So you want to put another 500 to 1,000 people into an area that's already like under privileged or whatever you want to call it. We have homeless people living on the Darndale Road in tents, Irish people in tents, like, and they're able to knock up these apartment blocks for these people. And it's so wrong in so many ways, you know what I mean? It's not us being racist. It's coming from a working class area that they've always walked on, politicians, always.
Peter, do you understand that?
Yeah.
So is Damien a racist because he was at the protest?
Oh, I don't know him personally, so...
You just said anyone who's at the protest is a racist. You just said, what? Sorry? He is a racist, is he?
Listen, is there any particular countries that you don't want these migrants coming from?
I tell you what I do want.
It's a simple question. Is there any particular country that you don't want migrants coming in from?
I don't want anyone. That's not from the EU, that there's police regulations on coming into this country with no documentation and no passports, with no criminal history or any records belonging to them to come into this country, where their women and children live.
And
no, it's not.
You're borderline racist to the folks outside of the EU.
Are you going to let me talk?
Are you going to let me speak first?
Well, wait until I finish my point, then you can talk.
Go on.
You what?
Go on.
Can I ask you where do you live?
Why do you want to know?
Well, I want to know because the reason I'm asking you is that there's going to be a valid point to follow. Where do you live?
Crumlin. Crumlin.
How many international protection centres is over in Crumlin?
I don't know. It's not so.
There
much.
Isn't any.
Well, there you go.
The nearest one would be the Red Cow.
There you go. So you don't have any of them around your area. You don't know anything about them. So you want to start learning before you get on calling people racist.
It is borderline racism, though.
I want to know what Damien said, Peter, in particular, you believe is racist. I don't believe he said anything racist.
Any person
He's part of the Paul Murphy crew.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead, Peter.
Any person that comes outside of the EU, he says, that's borderline racist.
No, that's not what he said. See, what the problem here, Peter, is you're not listening to people.
You have a group of people that you deem are not suitable to come into a country
No. What he said was, he doesn't want people coming to Ireland who have no documentation, that we have no way of checking if they have a criminal background, because he said we have a duty to protect our citizens. That's what he said.
Yeah, and as you said earlier about people in the EU, that you need a certain amount of money in order to...
Yeah, you can't go to another EU country and not work.
So what about Spanish people coming over here that have nothing in their bank account wanting to start a life? They're technically in the same position as people outside the EU.
Well, I can tell you now, if a Spanish person comes here and sits on the dole, I think they should be chucked back to Spain, by the way. That's personally speaking. Anyway.
Yeah, but they can't because they have the free range of movement in the EU.
Yeah, but they come with passports as well, by the way, can I just point out, Peter? We're talking about what Damien is talking about is people coming from outside of the European Union.
This person
with no passports, with no identification. According to the Irish Times, the vast majority of people coming into our ports don't have any identification.
I'm just trying to make a point. I can't understand the hatred towards a fellow human. I really can't. Like, if you are so concerned about people coming into this country, help them. Don't vilify them and tell them to get out of the country the second they step foot in it. I don't get it.
Noel.
Yes, go ahead, Damien.
Can I just say something, right? The big problem here, and what Peter obviously pointed out, was why don't we protest outside Dáil Éireann, right? That's what we try to do. They put a ring of steel around it. They don't want you anywhere near it. They don't want the media to cover this. They don't want the media to see the areas that are putting people into it, right? I live in Keulach. I had to put planning permission up. I had to wait months to get it to put a dormer in my house because I needed it. It was an emergency extra space because I had 4 children in my house and I had to pay for an architect. I had to pay for all the other stuff to be done in it. I couldn't go ahead and build that property and I had to get it obviously certified that it was to a suitable regulation. They're turning warehouses into houses for people that is not safe. That building, the whole roof, is covered completely in asbestos. How can you put people living in that?
But I don't know if there's asbestos on the roof, Damien. Damien, the building only closed down 4 years ago. I doubt there are asbestos roofs.
Noel, it's an asbestos roof. Get someone to have a look at the whole back. The very front building is the
new building. But asbestos has been removed from all buildings in this country. That building only closed down 4 years ago, or 5 years
Noel,
ago.
Chadwick's have a roof at the back that has asbestos on it. They completely covered it in steel. You go inside and you ask the lads, it's an asbestos roof. That's the truth. I'm not lying. Feel free to go in and ask them.
Okay. I would be very concerned if there was asbestos roofs on any buildings in Ireland, by the way, because the asbestos was outlawed many, many years ago. Okay, but that's a whole other argument. Hang on. I need to go to Tony as well. Hang on. Stay there, Damien. Tony, hi. How are you?
How are you? Noel? Okay.
Good. There you go. Peter says we should just let everybody in, and anybody who doesn't agree with that obviously hates people. I don't know where you're coming up with that kind of notion, but whatever.
It's fine. Like, you're after putting numerous points to Peter. It doesn't matter what you say to him. It makes absolutely no difference. There we go. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what you say to Peter. Peter's going to have his narrative. And his narrative is the only narrative that he's to go by.
Oh, no.
And unfortunately,
not at all. I'm actually having the crack over here because the last person speaking, they were organizing a protest. Hang on a second. They were going to start a protest outside the Dáil, and they were defeated by a 6-foot fence. That's hilarious.
All right, look, I'm glad you think it's a bit of crack for you, Peter.
It's
just a bit of crack for you. People that stuck with this.
How has this affected you? Personally, how has this affected any of you on this call right now? Come on. Has it affected you economically? Are your wages down or up? Are you out of a house? Are you living in a house?
I'm looking at my country being potentially destroyed and dismantled. And the only thing I can do is look at other countries, Peter. Countries like Sweden, countries like Holland, countries like Germany, that the certain parts of it that are no go areas due to uncontrolled migration.
Name one of the areas in all those countries, in each one of those countries, that's no go.
Well, I mean, a Social Democrats MEP from Sweden only came out there last week and said that she apologised to everybody that 3 to 4 years ago she was basically championing, refugees and asylum seekers and letting people in. And now she's come out and apologised to everybody. And now she's a Social Democrat. She's an MEP. And she said the reason is that she doesn't recognise her own country anymore because the crime rate has gone so high, because in a lot of parts of Sweden now it's very, dangerous for young women to go out at night. And she's now apologised for being pro-asylum seeker.
All right, you asked me to name somewhere. He asked me to name somewhere, like there's the Belmere, it's just outside Amsterdam, but just like you've Muhlenbeck in Belgium. Okay, now there's two places that are no-go areas in European countries.
Right, now that you haven't got Google at your hand, what about Sweden?
I didn't need Google, I was interrupted.
I'm sure.
No.
By the way, I want to clarify something just that Damien said there, while you guys were talking there, I just did a little research. The actual buildings, the Crown Paint buildings, are actually on a website to let at the moment, obviously, because it closed down 4 years ago. It's a very large property, by the way. And it says here, the buildings, and this is official, the buildings are of concrete portal frame, 5 of which are under asbestos roofs and 2 under metal deck roofs. Now, I would hate to think they'd be keeping any human beings in a building that has an asbestos roof. But anyway, I thought they were going completely.
Well, there you go. The migrants now have a reason to sue the state. Simple as.
Now, Peter, you see, asbestos is perfectly normal unless you start cutting it. It's the fibres off asbestos.
I still wouldn't want to be in a building with an asbestos roof, to be honest with you, Tony.
Exactly that. So now the migrants have an economically viable reason to sue the state. Isn't that funny?
Well, I mean, just getting back to what Tony is saying about the security of the state, and we can go into statistics from all over the world and countries all over the world, and we're seeing a huge problem all over the world, the movement of people, be it in America, Sweden, Germany, Ireland, England, France, everywhere at the moment, right? When it comes to this, Peter, do you believe there should be any restrictions? I still don't get your free movement of people around the world. This is, you think kind of making it out to be some sort of global village that everybody should be able to move wherever they want to with no restrictions. That economically can't work. You understand the economics of that, don't you?
Why couldn't that economically work?
Because it just can't. You can't go to another country without having money, firstly, to buy a home. I mean, so what? Like, you know, Johnny from Pakistan should be able to come to Ireland. And let's say, for example, he doesn't have a good job. We just give him a house. We give him a PPS number and a job. Is that the way it works? Is that that easy?
Well, maybe not. Well, maybe not give him a house because there are none. But why not give him a job that an Irish person is not taking? Simple. Like, I go to any McDonald's or any Burger King, they're all foreign nationals. My local delivery driver, he's a foreign national. My doctor is a foreign national.
But they are, yeah, but most of those came here. Your doctor's a foreign national, you're right. And diversity is a wonderful thing, by the way. We wouldn't be where we are today if it wasn't for foreign people coming to Ireland. But they came here on a visa, on a working visa.
Yeah.
Like every other person does.
People the chance, as soon as they step foot in the country, as one lad said, stop them as soon as they come into the country, instantly vilifying them.
We should stop them. As soon as they get to the country, if they've no passport, no documentation, you know what we should do with them, Peter? Put them back on the plane and send them home again. That's what we should do.
Yeah, but why not give them a chance? You know,
because we don't know who they are.
If they could get a minimum paying job,
Would you let somebody in? Would you open your door? If somebody opened the door tonight to your house, would you let somebody in if you didn't know who they were?
I would 100% let people into my house.
If you didn't even know who they were? That's bonkers. Don't be so stupid, Peter. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't let a complete stranger walk into your house if you didn't know who they were, for God's sake.
You say it like you know me.
Oh.
You don't.
Jessica, hi. How are you?
Oh, how are you, Niall? Listen, Peter said he lives in Crumlin. That must be wrong because you must be living in La La Land.
No, Crumlin.
Because seriously, pal, you have my blood boiling, you do. You have it boiling. And I've never been this angry in a while. It's not hatred. It's not fucking hatred. Don't put your labels on me, pal, okay? Okay? Because you know what? You must have been devastated when Leo... It gets sacked, that's not what happened, but stepped down because he couldn't handle it. You must have been devastated, were you?
I didn't hear a word you said. Say it again.
She said it's not hatred, it's frustration.
Person who was devastated that Leo stepped down because it means that people who actually give a fuck...
I don't follow any political party. Step up.
Well, that's a fucking lie.
All politics is nonsense.
You would be a picture boy for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil the way you were talking about him. You would be a picture boy.
Person speaking to me over the phone, you would know that, huh? But that's interesting.
I think you'd be more suited to people before profit, personally speaking. But come on, yeah.
Oh, the Communist Party.
I just think you'd be very suited to them because they're into the open border policy. Go ahead. Sorry, Jessica. Go ahead.
Here, let me tell you something, right? I'm going 25 in a couple of days, right? I will never, never. Oh, don't be a sarcastic prick. Seriously.
Oh. I'm saying congratulations. It's a birthday. Well done.
Right.
Make your point quickly, anything. Jessica. Go on. You would never watch.
I'll never be able to own anything or have any sort of chance in this country. Do I know why? Because them fuckers in the government and those coming in.
And
so
it's their fault they're not able to do that. You're 25. You've been an adult since you were 18. And you have no way of making a life for yourself. Is that your fault or their fault?
Peter, it's theirs and the government's. Do you know why? Because we're getting pushed to the fucking side. But you must be fucking blind to that because you live in La La Land.
It took me 7 years to save my own house. 7 fucking years. Why can't you do it?
Before you even have a home, are you actually stupid? With the way you
think
going,
I'm
in your 40s or 50s. So you must be fucking stupid.
I mean, you seem to be kind of oblivious to the problems in Ireland that young people are facing, Peter. And I understand what Jessica's facing, the problems she's facing as a young people. That's why many young people are leaving this country, because they can't afford or they'll never be able to afford to own a home, unless, of course, we have another crash.
That's not exactly immigration.
I didn't say it was. I never said it was. I'm just saying you're not basically empathising with the situation that she's in. But what she's saying, and I only spoke to somebody recently, a similar situation to Jessica, is there are people coming to Ireland who are not working, who are not doing an ounce, and being given a house. And she doesn't believe that's fair.
So she's justified in not working and trying to make a life for herself in that case?
No, what I'm saying is that people believe sometimes...
I'm not working.
She is working.
She just say that.
He did, yeah. Anyway,
you
people...
fucking prick, and you have the next to be like, you don't know me. Well, you don't know me, pal.
All you have is hatred. We're trying to have a common, a conversation here. I'm getting insulted.
How can I have a conversation with an idiot?
It's frustration, I think, Peter.
There's another insult.
I think it's frustration, Peter, more so than hatred that people have. Would you not accept that, Peter? It's frustration, not hatred.
Well, I can understand her frustration and not being in a suitable position so her later life is more comfortable.
I mean, I do agree, Peter. There are individuals, certain individuals involved in those protests who have nothing but hatred in their soul. And I couldn't disagree with that. But the vast majority of people who were at these protests are just concerned citizens. Do you not accept that?
You just said that the people at Coolock are peaceful. There's videos on social media everywhere of adults getting kids to shout, "Get them out, get them out, get them out." That's teaching hatred. Would you stop?
No.
No. Well, like it's not a fact.
When Black Lives Matter start shouting things like "kill the cops," was that hatred too?
Yes.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you admit that anyways, at least.
Hatred. I'll call out hatred when it is hatred.
I believe the majority of these people are not filled with hatred. I believe they're filled with frustration. And I think you're missing that point, Peter. You really are missing that point. All right, listen, unfortunately, that's all we've got time for. We have to wrap it up. We've gone way over time. Listen, thank you to everybody who got involved in the show today, in both shows today. We thank you. And please, please do support the show. By the way, go to nileboylan.com. You can either donate there or subscribe. Remember, we rely on those subscriptions. It's coming towards the end of the month. The bills have to be paid. We don't make enough money at the moment to pay the bills, but we do appreciate all the subscriptions that we do get. If we could get a bit more, it would pay the bills. If we could get a bit more, we might actually get paid at some point. But in the meantime, we're just happy to pay the bills. And listen, thank you, thank you, thank you to all those who subscribe and donate. Please go to the website and help us out to pay those bills. We really, really appreciate it. We shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.